Good morning, Gunners, to another installment of a Totally Arsenal podcast. I'm your host, Morne, and my co-host, as always, Aiden.
Good morning, guys. Unfortunately, we never got wins, but we still continued our unbeaten streak. For me, what was a very good positive for Saturday was Arsenal. The season was supposed to be a work in progress, playing up against the title challengers, Liverpool, and we rose to the occasion and actually matched Liverpool strength for strength, organized against Liverpool, and we got a point. So I'm happy with that. And it just shows that Unai Emery isn't just hanging around waiting for things to be sorted out. He's sorting it out immediately.
Yeah, because I mean, my take on the game was, I mean, like first 10 minutes was a very cagey affair where the likes of Musti and Holding, had to stand firm because we knew there was going to be some sort of onslaught at the beginning. But as the game grew on, you could see in midfield the confidence grew as well with the likes of Torreira and Xhaka. And of course, there were like those little chances that you were getting when what's his name, Aubameyang was getting through on that Trent Alexander-Arnold on that flank, narrowly missing, I think, a couple of chances there at one point. Then, as the game wore on, Liverpool, which was of course ruled offside, but I mean, many pundits disagree. And but I'm one of the few that actually agree with the linesman, bar the, I mean, biasness that people will probably say. But I mean, my take is just, I mean, having played football as well, and the way the rules have also evolved, down the years and stuff like that. I honestly get the fact that if you're gonna stand dead in your tracks, the game is supposed to flow. But for me, when you watch, I mean, you don't just take my word for it. Like, if you get a chance to watch the highlights, even or just the goal, or that contentious goal, when Trent crosses that ball into the Arsenal box, you see Firmino running from an onside position. He's gonna go for the ball. But for me, the minute, I mean, I don't know how other people have learnt the game also, but for me, the minute Mane is, darting full speed at that ball. Look, he might not have won because I think Firmino won the race there between the two of them. But for me, the minute he's darting towards that ball, he's already putting off Leno because, I mean, Leno's already coming out thinking, okay, I've got now two against one. I'm going to have to do something because Mustafi already played the offside line to get Mane offside. And my take, just look, I saw a lot of people are saying, yeah, that should have stood soon. But then for me, it should have only stood if Mane had stood his ground. But for me, he gunned for that same ball. I mean, like I said, you don't have to just take my word for it. Just watch that goal again and use your own judgment because he is running full speed. Because if he had now slacked off or something like that, then fine. But I mean, he was actually willing to go for the ball. And I think Firmino probably just gave him a shot. Look, I can get to it first. But I mean, the two of them were there already. So I mean, that was not my take on it. I don't know how your opinion was of that contentious goal.
Look, he was technically interfering with play, and that's the rule. The letter of the law states if you are interfering with play, it should be deemed offside. But at the point when I saw it, obviously, maybe I should go back and reanalyze it. At the time, my heart sunk because I thought maybe that goal would be given, actually. Like watching
Yeah,
it.
because look, I get it when you because look at that was it happened also so fast. But look, the minute Firmino hits a post and it comes back and rebounds straight to Mane, I mean, there's no problem there. But for me, it's just my problem is that minute that Arnold crosses the ball and he makes himself active going towards the ball. For me, that was then offside because you could see that it's almost like in I don't know if it was in the World Cup or the European Championships where FIFA told the officials, look. Just don't put your flag up. You take it like almost like 2 or 3 seconds, let it run through your head, then you put your flag up. And I think that is where that little delay came in. It also caused confusion. Because I think that linesman was also playing that whole thing, in his head, like, could this have gone this way? And I think that is how I see it. And that's just probably how that linesman saw it as well, the way he gave the call.
No, that's definitely. I get that. If you maybe you went far, rewind it, but back the before the whole end of the post thing, I think then if you look at it, Mane did actually interfere with the play, and it kind of messed up the judgment of Leno as well.
And then later on in the game, Leno pulled off also a great save from Van Dijk.
Mentioned that
But I
as
think, I
well.
mean, if that chance had fallen to, I think, a forward or any attacking sort of player, I think they would have probably buried it. But I think Van Dijk was just surprised that Leno was closing in on him so quick. So he just smashed the ball into the keeper.
I think chance as well. I think maybe done a bit better when he headed it over Alisson and it just went over wide from the poles.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one point that I also wanted to bring up where both keepers also had, iffy moments in that first half. Yeah, that's where you mentioned now where Mkhitaryan had that header. I mean, I think if he had been a bit stronger, because I think he almost like allowed himself to be out-muscled by Alisson there for that, where Alisson missed the ball completely. And then, of course, on the stroke of halftime, Leno ends up doing the same, ends up wiping out Van Dijk, but not before the Dutchman gets a header at goal and it smacks the post. And I mean, we almost like rode our luck there going into halftime because I just thought to myself, please not again. Because I notice sometimes there's moments we are also, I mean, some like those little lapses we have where either that stroke of halftime we end up, shipping a goal in. Are you there, Aiden?
That's sorry, I think it might have been a connection cut out or something like that. What I wanted to mention about is our Arsenal. I know you noticed when we defended, we almost defended like in a 4-4-2, and when we attacked, it was almost like a 2-4-3-1. And I think Granit Xhaka and Lucas Torreira was very influential and important in that part of the aspect of our game.
I mean, sometimes when I watch us play, it reminds me a bit of when somebody was describing, when Conte was in his prime at Chelsea, where they said like you would always see Chelsea will have either five at the back or five in attack because they'd always switch the play like that. So they're never going to be outnumbered at the back. They're never going to be outnumbered in front. So I'm not saying it's directly like that type of play, but I'm just saying. That is how it's set up. Because sometimes like we mentioned, I think, previous podcast where you'll sometimes see Torreira even shifting into that back four to make it like a back five to shield, whatever. And then, like, back to the game again, Liverpool took the lead on 61 minutes. Also, again, like a slight lapse on the right-hand flank pass with Mane getting a cross in. Leno failed to grasp onto the ball and it fell kindly to Milner to smash the ball home. So, of course, I mean, the Emery effect was immediate because immediately, I think sometime after a few minutes after the goal, Mkhitaryan was, very iffy again. Came off, Iwobi came on for him. Aubameyang came on, sorry, came off for Ramsey. And Welbeck came on for Kolasinac, as we now, we were now starting to push, trying to get at least a draw or something out of the game. Arsenal in that time then cranking up the pressure. Deft work by Iwobi.
Yes, wow.
Let's in Lacazette. And I mean the French striker perfectly rounds Alisson like from an acute angle and curls the ball home to equalize, which I mean sent the Emirates ballistic. Because look, what I also liked was throughout the game, again when we went the goal down, the crowd and the players, their heads didn't drop. They just kept on, kept on, kept on.
And then Danny Welbeck actually was very key in that goal away. He just took the other defender away. I don't think a lot of people maybe took note of that, but he actually kept the other defender kind of busy by pulling him away from Lacazette in order to get Lacazette to get on through and then, finish off like he did.
Like with regard also to that game, as much as we press for a winner, I mean, you could actually see that, especially the last 5 minutes, both teams were running on empty. So a solid draw was, actually more positive to us, because I mean, if you think of in the build-up, how people, criticized us, said we were going to be on the way to our, a type of hiding. But I mean, we stood firm, played with our hearts and our sleeves, and I mean, it came out positive.
I don't know if we forgot to actually mention credit to Xhaka, the way he chased down Salah at the end of the first half with that tackle he did on like it was inch perfect in the box.
I mean, as we're now wrapping up this game, the likes of Torreira and Neil, they were, really vital to us, just holding on. Because, look, there were times that we were going to get caught. I mean, we actually stifled a lot of the play in midfield because, I mean, Torreira gave Fabinho
Yes.
zero opportunity, because every time that guy looked up, Torreira was on his ankles, in front of him, behind him, side. So, I mean, that guy was almost like pressed for space. And look, Milner, as much as he is a grafter, he's not going to be that, that creative link to get you out of it. So it's almost like it was not down to the likes of Fabinho and some one of the others in midfield to, somehow make things happen. But you could see we stifled everything. And as the game also progressed, I think also by the second half, that front three that was so lethal of Liverpool, we're almost like left to, just chase shadows or chase aimless balls being hoofed for. Because, I mean, for me, one of the Liverpool players that was actually for me standout was that Andy Robertson. He was at least trying to, get the ball into the other half, because he knew, look, there's waivers coming upon him, and it's sort of like everybody is doing their own thing, and it's like he was almost like a man alone trying to get this, get Liverpool at least over into our half. So I mean, he was actually a key, and I mean, he's just, I mean, I never took much note of him before. I mean, I'm like watching him now closer this season, and I mean, he's actually a key figure to them.
No, definitely, and for me, what we saw in this game was how important it is how Emre moved away from, the cultured ball playing holding midfielder from Mikel Arteta under the Wenger days to now two ball winning midfielders who are prepared to dig in and giving that centre backs that protection. It was worked wonderful actually in such a high intensity game in which Arsenal probably would have come short a few seasons back.
I don't know if you noticed also that latter part of that second half. At one point, you could see Liverpool almost like did not have any more that energy to do that pressing game, and that allowed people like Torreira, that we did that little solo run through, and yeah, that shot just saved by Alisson.
We can definitely be proud of the performance, and I think we can only get stronger from here. I mean, Liverpool did beat Spurs away from home. They also drew to the likes of Chelsea, and they drew to City obviously at Anfield. But I mean, I think we're up there with the best in England at the moment compared to being the also-rans from a few seasons back. Much
Yeah, fully
just
agree.
competitive now.
Then we went on to the midweek game against Sporting Lisbon in the Europa League. Nine changes made in the top of the table clash in our group.
Yeah.
Lisbon coach Jose Peseiro was actually sacked before, like a week before. That was the guy that was still managing when we beat him there in Portugal. He was sacked, and a new manager stepped up, Thiago Fernandes. And you can see he seemingly did his homework, because the way Lisbon had set up, it was very, almost like defensive minded, with that that option of counter attacking if need be. And I mean, you could see they were waiting, they were almost like trying to suck us into that false sense of security, and then bang, hit us on the break every time. But that said, game was marred by that Welbeck injury midway in the first half. With Danny attacking the ball and at the same time getting a heavy coming off, like a heavy tackle. And I mean, one could immediately see his distress the minute he went down, and he's like, had a look at his ankle, because then you could actually see the panic and shock overcoming. And then, I mean, for me, thankfully, you had players like of Sporting and even Arsenal getting around him, and like trying to comfort him, calm him down. Because look, that can be hectic for any player, because I mean, you get hyperventilate and even pass out from, moments like that. But you could see that even Nani had like almost like a calming effect on him, like, talking to him the whole time while the medical staff were treating him. But as we know, I think I found out early on, they said he's like a broken ankle, like a, you know, very bad one. And that, I mean, that he could possibly be also the final match we could have seen of Welbeck, because the comeback, I think that the recovery period is somewhere between 6 and 8 months, or even 9, depending on the severity of the injury. And I mean, since he's in the final year of his contract, the last half of his contract, you know, it's going to be, you know, it's a, you know, a bitter pull, but I mean, you can see Arsenal in just, you know, allowing him to go out on a free, probably giving him that medical attention that he needs. But I mean, I honestly don't think he will be getting any extension or something.
But he was, look, he was actually doing well. He's rolling the Europa League. And he was actually, you know, being that sub that could come on. He was a good player to actually have. But I think we're going to have to now going to dig in the market in January, because we're going to need that striker that we can use as well in the Europa League, Carabao Cup and FA Cup games as well.
But, you know, like, with regards to the game now, I think also, you know, what happened, that incident that happened, and I think it led to, you know, it put a dampener on things, because the fluidity and that Arsenal spark was gone after that. I mean, it was almost like I think it affected even Sporting, because it's almost like both teams just went in through that, the motions of a game, you know? So, of course, we were wasteful with some opportunities, like especially Aubameyang was, you know, really guilty, because there were times that, you know, all the one that's actually much criticized, Mkhitaryan, was almost like laying it on a plate for him at times, and he kept on fluffing his chances.
I must admit, though, Mkhitaryan had one of his better games. He was like, he seemed a bit sharper and a bit faster than previous games I saw him in.
I mean, more bad news was to follow, because Lichtsteiner then pulled up with a hamstring strain, but thankfully, I mean, I actually found out, I think this morning, they say it's just a strain. It's not a bad pull, and it's not a tear. So I think he probably needs like 7 to 14 days just to, you know, rest that leg out, and then he will probably be back, because I mean, he has also been kind of consistent for us when he has come, you know, come on, and he's also a morale booster off the field as well. When you see how he, you know, urges the team on and you know, gets things rallying on the bench even.
But one big ups to Rob Holding at the moment, who's actually been a mainstay in our defense.
It's amazing. And I mean, if you think, I remember I still told you, I think end of last season, where I said, I think it's maybe time for Holding and Chambers to move on. Because I honestly did not see, excuse me, you know, any real future for them, you know, like the way they were now also being managed by Wenger. Not, you know, not that I'm like writing them off completely, but it's like you just never saw them getting it like a fair crack, you know, at playing, you know, regularly. And now, I mean, you look at him now under Emery, it's like you're looking at a total different player. Like, he has a confidence, he reads the reading of the game is fast. And I think that is also down to the coaching and stuff like that. But I mean, who would have thought? I mean, 1 minute, like if you think season before, barely getting a game, only these forced injuries or, you know, like a minor game, he gets game time. Now he's like a main, like as you said, a mainstay in the team. Now he's like, you know, almost like the first name on the team sheet.
But what you mentioned was key, I think it was either last week or the week before, where everybody feels like they're almost part of a family now at Arsenal, where they don't just come in when somebody's injured or when someone is, like, you know, away or something like that. They play now, week in, week out, or every week they'll alternate. So there's that rotation that's happening, but the players aren't feeling that they're missing out on anything as well, because they'll come on as a sub, or they'll play a full game the next game. It's just like a one big family now at the moment, fighting for one common goal.
You know, I watched even some of the training session of, I think, yesterday, leading like for the Wolves game, and you could actually look, they were trying out now different you know, that one touch plays and that 1-2, or that even a triangle plays also, and you can actually see this is probably going to be our game plan now for tomorrow's game against Wolves, because that it was like, you know, the tempo that they were playing and passing it, even like the likes of Maitland-Niles and Xhaka and them and Ozil, it looked when you know that zippy type of football, and I think that is probably going to be the key now for us, our whole game for tomorrow. Just back to that Sporting game, that latter part of the game also led to a red card for Sporting with Jeremy Mathieu hauling down Aubameyang with about 2 minutes to go, like getting a straight red for professional foul. But of course, I mean, we fluffed it as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, the point enough for us to secure our place into the knockout stage after Karabakh won in Vorskla.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that sets us up now. So, I think he will, you know, I'm not saying he's going to really take his foot off the gas, but he's probably going to, you know, try his utmost now to you know, let other players now get in as well.
He'll risk to risk players. And I wonder actually how Ainsley Maitland-Niles is going to fit in, because I'm actually excited to see him back in the team. I don't know how you feel about that, but I think there's a lot of potential there. And with Torreira there, I think, like, I know we've been using him out wide, but I think he's a good central midfielder. We could learn, and he can learn a lot actually from the likes of Torreira.
But you know, Aiden, I was actually chatting to some people on Twitter the other day with regards to, you know, where we should strengthen, and like whether it's January or summer. And I just think, you know, we should, like for me, what should actually be a kind of priority now is, you know, bring in maybe a few left backs, whether it's like maybe a youngster and somebody that can now be, I'm not saying too established, because I just don't think Nacho is now, because I was watching even the training session before the Sporting game.
Yeah.
The players were about to do stretches and that, and then I think he did a few stretches and then he just shook his head and he walked off. Because then that was where they said, like, that's why he didn't make the cut for the Sporting game, because he was supposed to be penned in for that game. So, as I said, I think that is where we need to start, you know, thinking of bringing, you know, maybe up-and-coming left-back and maybe a guy that's about to eat his prime, maybe something like that.
For me, I don't actually... I think left-back's the one position I'm not too clued up on actually at the moment. And it's quite funny because I used to play left-back at one of my positions as a footballer, and now I can't even think of somebody that we could actually slot in at the left-back position.
Because, I mean, for me, it's actually stinting our halting our progression when we're playing now, because all that right-footed players always are going to have to check back to get that ball. Because not all the crosses are going to be natural. Like when you see Kolasinac, when he puts zip and whip on that ball, you know that ball is going to come anywhere by the six-yard box or the penalty spot. But you can see with when it's Jenkinson or Lichtsteiner, they're always going to have to come back on the right foot to get a sort of angle in on the ball.
And Monreal just coming into his own, actually. Like, you know, the past few seasons, he's been one of our best players season in, season
out. Yeah, but I think it's like with us also getting so involved in the player and that seeing, you know, his progression. But you also, one is also like kind of forgetting his age. And I think that is also now catching up to him now. You know, that where the injuries all of a sudden, you know, get stretched out longer than it, you know, where it would have been like a short-term thing before with a recovery period.
But I think going on to tomorrow's game, I feel it's going to be a very tough game. Wolves haven't been no pushovers this season. They've troubled a lot of teams. I mean, at home, I know we're playing at the Emirates, but at home they got the 1-0 draw to City. And even they gave Spurs a relatively a tough time. But that's all games that they played at home. But I think that we should get the 3 points, but it's not going to be a walk in the park.
I mean, look, I'm glad. I'm not saying we must... You know, we're just going to walk in there and think, okay, we're going to steamroll it. Because, look, I just don't want that same sort of attitude that caught us out against Crystal Palace. Because I think that is where we also got our backsides kicked to us. Because it was a game that we could have cruised if we needed to. But, you know, almost like silly mistakes, you know, ended up costing us. So I just hope now they, in a more focused sense of mind, you know, almost like do it for Danny type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, because... And then get the points for us, because look, Wolves coming to this game now tomorrow with 3 straight losses after winning their first 6.
Yeah.
And I mean that Matt Doherty has been almost like the Mr. Reliable in defense, like almost like a constant performer, whether they win, lose, or draw. But I mean, they also do have some serious talent in their squad, because the likes of, I think that Nuno Santo, their coach, has brought in some, you know, solid talent or even experienced talent, because he's brought in, let me just have a look, he's brought in Johnny from Atletico Madrid on loan. He's brought in Rui Patricio from Sporting. He's brought on this one of this. I mean, this is actually my FIFA go-to guy, Leander Diondonga from Anderlecht. He's probably one of the, I think he's rated very, very high. And then they got Adama Traore from Middlesbrough. They brought in Raul Jimenez from Benfica on loan, and then also João Moutinho, because I mean, he is always dangerous. I mean, you might not have the speed, but that mind of his, the way, if you watch him in the Euros or the World Cup, and that he's still got that brain on him, you know, that playmaker brain.
Another guy who I think he's quite good in the middle, the Ruben Neves or something like that.
Oh, yeah. So he was, so yeah.
And
Yeah.
in shot, and so we need to make sure we don't allow him that room for that shot to take place.
And now for some, you know, news and side notes. I don't know if you listened to that, you know, the commentary we had down nice and loud. You could actually hear the frustration growing from the Arsenal fans regarding Ramsey.
Yes,
Because
yes,
at
yes.
times you could see he was trying to do so many things on his own, almost like thinking, I don't care what's happening around me, I'm gonna just do my own thing. And you could see that little that little flicks and tricks. As good as it comes off sometimes, he was doing it almost like at the wrong time. I mean, you're in a game where it's nil-nil and you're almost like showboating with the ball. And I mean, you could see Emery was getting highly annoyed, especially that one when he ran to the box, could have crossed to Aubameyang, and I think, I don't know if it was Iwobi in the box. And he tried to do this little chip around, you know, and then he almost like he just ended up being run out of the pitch.
And I was actually going to mention about Ramsey because all these games that we've been doing over the past few weeks, and even now on Thursday night, we haven't even mentioned a performance of Ramsey that we can say, oh no, Ramsey this, Ramsey that. And I think it's come to a point now where maybe we should cash in on Ramsey because he doesn't better our team when he really is there. Like, we don't miss him when he's not there as well.
Because I mean, my like opinion on the guy is, I mean, I love the guy, and I mean, you remember the previous podcast? I was saying like, you know, I really want us to keep him, and but it's gotten to a stage now. It's like he's not really, like, as you said, helping the team. He's not like showboating himself now to like to put himself in the transfer window type of thing, you know, to attract suitors now, you know, to go for him in either January or offer him something big in the like, end of the season. So I mean, for me, then it's not going to benefit either party if it's going to go on like this. Then we might as well cash in January then.
I agree, and we can get maybe a wide sort of winger type guy who likes to get chalk on his boots for instead of having Ramsey in the team then.
Know, with regards to the Welbeck injury, doesn't that also something I'm going to bring up now? Excuse me. You know, there's no talk of us bringing in like either we look for a striker, like established striker, or a winger. And one of the names that has come up now is a little winger called Nicolas Pepe. He's,
Yeah.
I think, valued at about 45 million, I think, pounds. And I mean, he's like a Ivorian international, and I mean, he's actually now wanted by the likes of I think Barcelona, PSG is also having a look at him. So, but I heard like he is being now looked at by even that Sven Mislintat. So the thing is, even if he plays as a winger, if we should, like, you know, if we should go for something like this, I do still think we need a, you know, a forward, because look, with all these games coming up, look, we're still in all, touch wood, all the competitions. So, you know, do we really want to put all that pressure on Eddie Nketiah and I seriously doubt that Hoffenheim really wants to let go of Reece Nelson now either, because he's now eating a purple patch in Germany. So I don't think they want to now, you know, just cut ties now. Even though I think Reece Nelson said he's willing to, you know, answer the call if needed, if Emery now needs him.
That's good we have such committed players to the cause, actually.
But I mean, what do you have any strikers that you have in mind that you think, you know, would almost
No,
like be as like a stopgap? I'm not saying, look, I doubt you're going to get our, you know, a mega signing for now. But I don't know if a person must now think of like short term of bringing it forward to, you
I
know,
think I'm
just.
top of the head now at the moment, and it may be a bit difficult because he has been very injury prone, but Callum Wilson from Bournemouth, I wouldn't actually mind. You know, just stopgap. Not somebody that's
Yeah,
going
but
to be.
I don't know if you have heard that thing where I think Chelsea are actually trying to wrap up that deal already.
So that would have been actually my option, but it seems now it's gonna be too late. But I think we need a pacey guy just someone who can stretch the defense as well.
Because I mean, I just like you know, Eddie Nketiah. I mean, at the Norwich game, fine, he got the 2 goals last season in the Carabao Cup. But I just think, like, I mean, I've seen him now in games also where he's supposed to lead the front line on his own, and you can see he does not have, you know, that in him yet. I think he needs, you know, people around him to, you know, boost his confidence. But I just think we need somebody, whether it's maybe also a youngster, but a youngster that can actually take the game to the opponent. And I don't think Eddie is up to that yet.
I know exactly what you mean, but I think a striker is always a very tricky prospect to get in the January transfer window. I think we got lucky with the likes of Aubameyang, with him wanting to leave and him being a rip with Dortmund. Any takers of Giroud coming back?
I'd take him any day. Because for me, you know, I watch him every time for Chelsea. I'm thinking, you should be still wearing an Arsenal kit. Because I don't know, as much as I look at him for Chelsea, for me, he's still not like, for me, it's more like you're watching Giroud on loan at Chelsea, something like that.
I feel the same way. And I thought maybe with Morata there and with Wilson coming there, maybe, you know, we can, you know, sneak a deal in there to get him back.
Wheel and deal. Okay, so I'm going to wrap up now. I hope you guys enjoy the show. We'll be back next week again, as usual. And I hope you guys enjoy the game tomorrow. Hopefully, it's 3 points for us.
Yeah, and before I go, or we go, prediction for tomorrow?
I'll go 3-1 Arsenal.
I'm going to go 2-0.
Okay. Enjoy your weekend, Aiden. And fellow Gooners, enjoy your weekend as well. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.